Hi, my name is Steve Elzinga, and this is the life coaching class. It's the badge on pre-marriage, and we happen to have a couple here that is actually getting married in how many?
43 days, I think.
43 days.
43 days.
They both happen to work here at CLI. Maybe you recognize you know Abby from the Revival News. I don't know, Mitch, sometimes you appear
every now and then I'll make my way.
Yeah. So 43 days, that's not long, but it's perfect timing for this class. So we're actually going to do this pre-marriage thing. You took the other class where I went through all the different topics and so on, but now you're going to actually see it live. And you guys really don't know what it is, right?
No.
We've seen it ahead of time, so we're not acting, we're not, you know, pretending, so this is a real thing. So a way that you might start, and by the way, we're going through this little book that you can either download or you can order one from Christian Leaders Institute. But before we get started, I want to go over some ground rules with you. So if you go to page 8...
Some ground rules.
Yes, ground rules before we get started. So, ground rule number one, go through this study as a couple or as a group. Sometimes you could do this with a group of couples without being negative of one another. This is not a gripe session, but it's instead an encouragement time. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It's sort of a strange phenomenon I wrote here. Couples, when finally working on their potential marriage, often instead of approaching the time together with humility and a cooperative spirit, decide it's a time of criticizing and complaining. Mm-hmm. The goal of this study is to encourage a better marriage. Let the study do its work. You do not have to fix your potential mate. Just be honest and humble about your own role in your relationship. Mm-hmm. So, Mitch, why don't you read number 2?
See the negatives in your fiancé as an opportunity to love him or her. You want me to read the verse?
Yeah.
Romans 15:1-2. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. Sure, you love your fiancé, of course. That is why you are engaged. But if you only love your fiancé because of the things you love about him or her, what kind of love is that? Love what is worth anything. Love when it is hard to love. Every weakness in your fiancé is an opportunity to show your fiancé unconditional love.
All right. Abby, how about you, number 3?
Build on your relationship and take your love for each other to the next level. Romans 15:5-7. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Here is the recipe for a disastrous, unhappy courtship and a potential marriage. Keep trying to change your potential mate. Keep harping on their faults. Never give up on your idea of the perfect marriage partner. Here is the recipe for a satisfying, happy courtship and potential marriage. Accept the limitations of your fiancé, knowing that your spouse must do the same.
All right, number 4, when necessary, forgive each other. Mm-hmm. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Your fiancé has hurt you in the past. Perhaps words were said that were at best unfair and at worst untrue. Perhaps each one has taken the other for granted. Maybe there was unfaithfulness in spirit or even in reality. Forgive. Forgive. Do it before you go any further in this study. If you can't forgive, ask God to help you forgive with the same power that he uses to forgive you. All right, Mitch, try number 5.
Be gracious, be cautious about a critical attitude. Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You may think you have a unique gift of seeing the problem in other people, and especially in your fiancé, but the truth is everyone is good at seeing the problems in others. No one likes a critic. No one wants their faults pointed out. A person is more likely to take a more critical look at themselves in an environment of acceptance and love. Why not give each other that kind of environment during this study?
Okay, Abby, number 6.
Go all in to make your marriage better. Get out of your comfort zone. Song of Songs 7:11-12. Come, my love, let us go out to the fields and spend the night among the wildflowers. Let us get up early and go to the vineyards to see if the grapevines have budded, if the blossoms have opened, and if the pomegranates have bloomed. There I will give you my love. You could stay safe, not share much, give only safe answers during the study, but if you do, the chances are your relationship will be no different than before you did the study. And what is the point of that? Go for it. Take a few chances. Open up and be vulnerable.
Number 7, resist giving advice to others at this Bible study. So, especially if we were doing it as a group, we're going to do it just individually, but if you were doing it as a Bible study, a lot of times people will, one couple will share and someone will be vulnerable and say something. And then all of a sudden, three couples will want to fix them and help them, and all of a sudden they become the counselor.
Right.
And then once, and that may be appreciated or not appreciated, but what happens is other people will see what happens when you open up. If I open up, I'm going to have a herd of people trying to fix me.
Right.
And so then they won't want to open up. So resist giving advice. James 1:19, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen and slow to speak. All right, number 8, I'll do that one. Resist teaching others about marriage. So this is kind of that same thing. If this is a retreat, people will want to fix each other. Ecclesiastes 5:3, too much activity gives you restless dreams. Too many words make you a fool. Some people cannot help but assume that they are the teacher in social situations. But chances are the couples doing the study are not doing the study to learn from you. Let the study do the teaching. How do you know when your sharing is becoming teaching? When you find yourself responding to almost anything anyone else has to say. Mm-hmm. All right, so those are kind of the ground rules. Now let's just kind of go over what the theme here of this whole study is. The theme is connected. The goal of this time together is to help couples connect to each other and to God. Genesis 1:27, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So we're created in the image of the triune God. Genesis 2:22-25, then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken from the man. He brought her to the man, and the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. So what we're going to do, there's two parts to this study. Part one is the seven connections of marriage. When you get married, you're connected in these seven ways. Permanently, playfully, socially, verbally, spiritually, physically, and purposefully. So we'll go through each one of those. And then part two, the wedding. There's the vows, there's the ceremony, there's the rehearsal, there's the reception. Mm-hmm. So we'll be looking at that. So this is just sort of an introductory thing. When we come back, we'll dive into our first topic.